selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they warm, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, this God will give. Buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see the shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no more leaves, gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, and it is Tuesday. Tuesday what? Tuesday sometime in February. Tuesday the 14th. Oh, it's Happy Valentine's Day today. Well, Happy Valentine's, everybody. Well, that's excellent. Anyways, we have a cat. I find this interesting. There's a story here about a cabinet minister in Ontario. So Ontario Cabinet Minister Michael Gravel says he was diagnosed with depression last year and has been struggling with a feeling of uneasiness that I have not been able to shake. That's what he says. A feeling of uneasiness. Well, you ought to have a feeling of uneasiness. You're destroying the province. You're destroying the men and women in the province. Anyways, Cabinet Minister Michael Gravel is temporarily stepping aside from his Northern Development and Mines post to fight depression. The veteran MPP for Thunder Bay Superior North said Monday that he was diagnosed last year and has been struggling with that feeling of uneasiness that he ain't been able to shake. That is his moral compass rising up in him. It ain't depression. It's the realization of what he's involved in. I guess that depressed him. He don't know how to deal with it. And he's uneasy about it. And he ain't been able to shake it. Well, if you stood up on your soapbox and opened your fat frickin' mouth and started telling the people what the hell your so-called government is actually up to, you might not feel so uneasy. You might not feel depressed. Anyways, Premier Amadike Kathleen Wynne appointed Municipal Affairs Minister Bill Morrow, also from Thunder Bay, to handle the portfolio while Gravel, who battled cancer in 2012, takes time to heal. It takes great courage to speak publicly about mental health challenges. I want to wish Michael Gravel a speedy and complete recovery, the Premier said in a statement. I know that everyone at Queen's Park will have him in their thoughts and will be rooting for him. Of course, nobody at Queen's Park has the better interest of the men and women and children who call this God-forsaken place, home. I put that in. Gravel began his career at the legislature in the 1980s as a liberal political staffer and is well regarded by members of all parties, who said it's important to talk openly about mental health to reduce stigmas around it. I've been grappling with this disease privately, he wrote in a statement, noting he's stepping aside on the advice of his doctors. It has become clear to me that it will take some time and effort, treatment, and understanding to properly address this illness, he added. No, I don't have that whole story. Oh, maybe I do have the whole story, because it gets really stupid. Gravel described the fight as difficult, but expressed optimism. I will be able to treat this and be back to myself in the very near future, fighting for my constituents in all of all Northern Ontario. You're not fighting for them. You're fighting against them. That's why you're depressed, you dickweed. You're destroying the people of Northern Ontario. And the so-called government is destroying everybody else. But this is where it gets good. This is why we must embrace democracy. Progressive Conservative MPP, Lisa McLeod, Nepean Carlton, which is basically Ottawa, who made her battle with depression public last year, said it was an important step for Gravel to break the silence on his condition. So we got an MPP from the Liberals. We got a Conservative MPP who's battling depression. He will feel he won't have to bear the burden alone or in silence, she told the Star from her Ottawa riding. His being open about this will help a lot of people. And I don't have the whole story here. There was a couple other government people that, from all parties, that they are parties. They're at a party. And party means to divide, and that's what they're doing, dividing the people. And pushing the mental health thing because they want you all on drugs. They want you all dependent on them, who are all crazy, for your mental health. Now, the mental health problems in this province and around the world would be far less if we weren't battling these idiots who are destroying the nation states in order to bring about the world government. Now, we have a problem in all of our countries regarding this mass influx of migrants. And the problem with these migrants, in particular those of the Islamic faith, is that, you know, they push this multiculturalism nonsense, and they say that, you know, we're a diverse nation, and we have to be inclusive of one another. We have to show respect for one another. The problem with Islam is it has no respect for anybody or anything except Islam. It most definitely will never integrate. Now, I got some headlines here on multiculturalism, and the Benhams, I guess this is in England, will become the first major UK retailer to sell Islamic headscarves. High Street Department Store will become the first major high street outlet in the United Kingdom to sell the hijab, the traditional Muslim headscarf, which leaves the face partially uncovered. And that's from February 14th, that's today. Another one from today is Australians are fleeing areas of heavy Islamic settlement to protect our daughters, says a senator. And he goes on to talk about this a little bit. Self-segregation has become a reality in Australia, says Senator Malcolm Roberts, with people fleeing areas of heavy migrant settlement, especially Islamic settlement. This is not only white flight, as every kind of flight, every type of Australia is fleeing these new ghettos, claimed the One Nation populist, citing research on diversity and societal cohesion, which suggests the country's identity and social fabric are beginning to fray. No kidding. Culture and integration matters to Australians, he told colleagues in the Australian Parliament's upper house, condemning the coldness and arrogance of the political elites who refuse to recognize this. In our fraying society, self-segregation has become a reality. We, the people, are seeking to protect our children, our daughters, our property, our liberty, he stated bluntly. Sex attacks on women and girls have become increasingly common in Europe since the advent of the migrant crisis. The German authorities and media came under heavy criticism for apparently attempting to cover up an outbreak of mass sex attacks on New Year's Eve 2015-16, while assaults in neighboring Austria rose by 133% in 2016. More recently, Sweden was shocked when a gang rape was live-streamed on Facebook, and Italian populist Matteo Salvini called for the introduction of chemical castration for sex offenders after a Nigerian migrant was accused of attempting to rape a 62-year-old woman working in an asylum center. If immigrants are to assimilate, we should be choosing those from cultures with a track record of ready assimilation, argued Senator Roberts, pointing out that the Australians had few complaints about some of the other people who had immigrated to the country in the past. We can expect people wedded to an ideology masquerading as a religion that specifically precludes assimilation to assimilate and immigrate. Yes, we can't. Speaking in the same debate, crossbencher Jackie Lambie praised U.S. President Donald J. Trump's attempt to temporarily restrict travel from seven Muslim majority states identified as countries of concern. Lambie further suggested that would-be visitors to Australia who do not share our democratic beliefs and respect our liberties should be denied entry. Advocates of Sharia law, the strict religious legal code practiced by Islamic State and in Saudi Arabia, were highlighted as a source of particular concern. Sharia law is an anti-democratic cancer that doesn't belong in a free society, she said. Well, we don't want a democracy and we don't live in a free society, but we'll let that slide. How could someone who thinks it is okay for women to be treated like possessions of men and like second, third class citizens share Australian democratic beliefs, she asked. Sharia law is anti-democratic. Show me a successful democracy in the Middle East that imposes the death penalty on gay people for being gay, imposes the death penalty on women who are unfaithful to their husband, denies the right of the Jewish people to live in peace in Israel. Well, this is a messed up politician as well. But everything else aside, without a doubt, it is this Islamic migration into our nations that is by far the largest problem that we face at this time. And our governments are opening the doors. And this is a good story here. Orban, I don't know who that is, but globalists will use mass migration to replace Europeans and crush the will of the people. And here we have some dick holding up a sign here, some Muslim. Europe is the cancer. Islam is the answer. Hungary's Viktor Orban believes the globalist establishment will not respond to their defeats in 2016 by re-examining their policies, but by encouraging a wave of mass migration, which will crush the will of the people and replace Europe's existing populations. And that is the plan. The lords of globalist politics are not searching for the fault within themselves after the defeat in the BRICS at referendum and the U.S. presidential election, he claims, but are instead blaming the people and nations. They have decided they will not surrender their positions, but will crush any will of the people that oppose the open society and liberal governance. They have declared that if elections in a certain country are not won by their ideological partners, by the liberals, then in that country, democracy no longer exists. They have declared that the people constitute a danger to democracy. Orbán believes that politicians wedded to the No Borders Multicultural Open Society, a reference to Open Society Foundation funded by George Soros, the billionaire financier, whom the Hungarian authorities regard as a malign influence, will respond to reverse at the ballot box by attempting to undermine Europe's electorates through mass migrations. And it goes on here. Poor, slowly awakening citizens do, after all, dig in their heels and be flooded with a few million migrants. If these fuddy-duddies in Europe who are unwilling to, unable to shake free of their Christian roots and patriotic feelings won't take heed, then let's dig deeper and replace the subsoil of European life. Let masses of people from different religious backgrounds who have been raised with different morals and different traditions and who have no idea about Europe come and teach us a lesson. And that's exactly what the migrants are, the Islamic migrants are. They are the foot soldiers of the globalists. And what is the aim of the globalists? To destroy the nation states. So we're at war. Simple as that. This is Third World War and is both spiritual and psychological. He goes on here, he goes on to say this is how the world's most bizarre coalition of people, smugglers, human rights activists, and leading European politicians was created with the aim of systematically bringing millions of migrants into Europe. Where will all this lead? According to Orbán, the Open Society advocates want to create a system in which true power, decision, and influence must be put in the hands of people who are part of the global network, media groups, unelected international organizations, and their local offices. And that, right there, is what direct democracy is aiming for. Okay, so I cannot say this enough. If you go somewhere and you're ticked off at what the so-called government is doing in your particular nation, and you see things about direct democracy or representative democracy, understand that Orbán from Hungary is telling you exactly what I've been telling you. In terms of economics and national identity, he describes the open society as a place where people, ethnic groups, and cultures are stamped out to size like hamburgers so that they can be turned into merchandise, and countries are transformed into railway stations with everyone being able to move in and out. The Fidesz leader's overall message with respect to the globalist worldview seemed to recall Bertolt Brecht's sardonic comments after the 1953 uprising in East Germany. Would it not be easier for the government to dissolve the people and elect another? Orbán's tongue-in-cheek offer to welcome true refugees from Western Europe seeking the Europe that they have lost in their homelands. The Central European leader has been the continent's most outspoken critic of mass migration, has been a thorn in the side of the European Union. Mr. Orbán defied other European leaders in 2015 when he built a border wall to stem migrant crisis, reducing the daily flow of illegals from some 10,000 to just dozens. And this is the other thing we've got to do, and I keep saying it. We got to hold these people that we think are our government, or people do, we don't. You're not listening to this show, but too many of the people in our countries believe is actually a government. Campaign to replace standard Swedish with migrant inclusive accent launched. mean, these stories are this is sci-fi for crying out loud. State-owned company Laurinia on Tuesday launched a campaign to replace the standard form of Swedish with one that's more inclusive of migrants. The new standard Swedish, developed in collaboration with linguist Mikael Parkvale, mixes together accents and dialects that are commonly spoken in Sweden. According to the staffing and training company, the new dialect better reflects Sweden in 2017, and the company hopes it replaces the natural form of Swedish in recorded messages on an answering machine. Yada 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 yada. So we're gonna take the language of the country of Sweden, and we're going to integrate different dialects and accents into the Swedish accent and dialect in order to better represent the foreign invaders' dialect and an accent, so everyone can Okay, other people found the new form of Swedish more sinister, appearing to refer to a government-backed campaign which told native Swedes to integrate with migrants. One user said, "We are Sweden. You will be integrated. Resistance is futile." So now they abolish the only national form of Swedish. It does not exist. Things are beginning to resemble the Soviet system in which everything that has gone before in history is erased, another post read. And that goes back to the 1950s. It goes back to 1950 Senate hearings where Warburg said we will have a world government. And they needed global problems that could only be solved at the global level, and therefore you need a global government. And then later on in the 50s, the Rees Commission, which was formed to find out what the tax-exempt foundations were up to. These are the same foundations and the same type of people who facilitated the takedown of Russia and turning it into the Soviet Union. And now we have the European Union, and we're going to get the rest of the Union. We're going to back these clowns up. But when was asked Ford, when the Ford Foundation asked, I forgot his name right now, I don't know why, what the Rees Commission was looking for. They said we're trying to find out what the tax-exempt foundations are up to. And the guy from the Ford Foundation said, simple, we're tasked with Sovietizing America, which is Sovietizing the West, which is exactly what's going on. Now, who are Semitics? The Jews and Syrians and Arabs. And the vast majority of Syrians are what? Muslim. And the vast majority of Arabs are what? Muslim. And they're all Semitic. They're the Semitic people. And there's, you know, history states specifically it was a Jewish faction that took down Russia. It was the Jewish faction who starts all of these protests and that. Just all the protests you see today, you can just label Jew on them, because it was basically the Jews that set up and the globalists that set up the United Nations. Now, some people might not like that, but that's just the way it is, folks. I can't do nothing about it. Second cathedral embroiled in Muslim prayer controversy. This is from January the 18th. And I take it this is also in Britain, I would think. Yeah. Gloucester Cathedral has provoked controversy by hosting an event featuring the Islamic call to prayer as well as Buddhist chanting, Rasta drumming, and a pagan rock band in an event just days after a Scottish cathedral was criticized for hosting Muslim prayers denying the divinity of Jesus Christ. Now, I watched some videos the other night and regarding the Jews and the Muslims. And there was a guy running around asking questions to both Muslim and Jews, which is closer, which is more connected, Jews and Muslim, or Jews and Christians, or Muslims and Christians. And it was pretty much anonymous. The Jews and the Muslims have far more in common than Christians. Now, we know the Muslims don't like Christians, and we know the Jews don't like Christians. Yet the Jews run our media, the Jews run our money. And now the Muslim migrants are coming in, and these so-called Christians are bending over backwards to accommodate both sections of these, both sects of this. And now we have the so-called Christian churches. And I mean, the Jews, when they're asking the Jews about Christianity, and they don't even recognize it, about Jesus, don't recognize that guy either. You know, some said, yeah, he was a Jew, he was born a Jew, but then he turned on us and he went and started this other thing called Christianity. And that's why I say it's a spiritual war. The faith exhibition by artist Russell Hain, held inside the Christian Monument, features 37 portraits of individuals from different belief systems, including Zoroastrians, I don't know who the hell they are, Druids, witches, pagans, the Baha'i, as well as all other major world religions. The Islamic call to prayer, which states that Muhammad is Allah's prophet, a teaching incompatibility with Christianity, was performed at the launch of the exhibition by local IMAM. Hey, Chris, how are you doing?
Hey, bud.
Reverend Ruth Fitter, vicar of St. Paul and Stephen Church, who helped arrange the events, said the call was absolutely beautiful and encouraged Christians to embrace all religions rather than spread the gospel in any way. We live in a world that is becoming more and more polarized by people who claim to have the truth. No one has any proof of God. That's what faith is about, she told. I happen to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God who came to dwell with me and save me from my sins. That doesn't mean I expect others to change their faith or believe wholeheartedly. It does mean, however, that I hope they will offer me the same respect as I seek to offer them. And let's face it, there is a significant shortage of love between people in our world. We need all we can get. My parish is made up of such an eclectic, diverse populations and is therefore a beautiful image of God creation. In my view, every single person is made in his image and loved by him. I accept those who turn their back on him, which is Ruth, the fitter, the vicar of St. Paul. I look at her, she's probably a dyke. Anyways, how you doing, Chris? I still got you? Where'd he go? Did he bail on me or what? Christopher.
No, you have me. I had my mute on. Sorry.
Oh.
Yeah.
Have you had a Halle burger yet? You got Muslims in your town. You went down for a Halle burger or a kosher
There's a lot of, I'll be honest with you, a lot of sales on right now for halal meat.
Yeah, I bet you there is.
But there's also a lot of Muslims in the grocery store I frequent. So maybe that's why. I don't know.
Well, But
Ron, looking at like what you're discussing here, like I'm noticing a buffer all the time. You go biblically, we know who wrote the Bible, and it wasn't God, it wasn't his disciples, it was a Jew. As you say, I'm well versed and well informed and well understanding as to the correlation between them and the Jewish, what do you call it, faith?
It is the
But you
Jewish
notice
state.
there's a buffer zone. There's always a buffer zone. Now, we know we're in trouble. We know we got to do something about the Muslim invasion. Now, our government should be held accountable for this, and I'm talking treason, high treason. You tend to think fraud at times, but in any case, there's a buffer. And so now we got to fight this Muslim invasion, and then we're going to have to go back to dealing with the Jewish issue. And, you know, like, this is what I feel like Hitler was trying to do in his day. Well, he actually had a lot of power to do it, though. We don't have any.
Well, we need to go get it. You know, did you, actually, I was reading about a Hall of Meat here, and I'm looking for the actual story, but, you know, I went back to the 1930s, 1920s, where all of the countries were banning kosher religious slaughter of animals. And it wasn't until basically it was the League of Nations originally that was saying that the Jews needed to have their religious beliefs respected. Well, the League of Nations, of course, was after the First World War. And now we have the different groups in the UN saying, you know, we have to respect people's religious rights. Well, but it's our rights that are not being respected. We're getting run over. And if we voice anything, then somehow we're a problem. I don't know if you saw that thing. I sent you that thing today. I thought it was rather humorous out of Germany about this new Hitler guy. Did you get that? I sent you a link to a little story. I sent you a link to a little story about Hitler's twin or some damn thing.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Cool. Huh? London, Ontario, where I got it from.
Was that in Ontario?
London, Ontario, but it probably was related to a story in Germany.
No, he was arrested in Austria. It was in the Owen Sound Sun-Times, but see, it has nothing to do with the Owen Sound area. It has nothing to do with Ontario. It has nothing to do with Canada, but it's all about this anti-Semitic, you know, we can't say anything, boo. So this guy wanders around in Austria, combs his hair like Hitler, and has a mustache like Hitler, and he calls him Hitler's double. And the story is real short and simple. And it's exactly what, that's why I sent it to you. It's exactly what the problem is. A man described as Hitler's double by local media has been detained in Austria for possible violations of laws against glorifying the Nazi era, police say. Witnesses who have seen the unidentified 25-year-old say he sports a Hitler mustache, combs his hair in the style of the Fuhrer, and dresses in Nazi era regalia. Police spokesman Daniel Furcher said Monday the suspect was detained after being seen repeatedly in front of the house where Hitler was born in the town of Brno on Austria's border with Germany. Futur says the man appears to glorify Hitler. The house itself, the object of legal squabble between its owner and the government, which wants to take possession and remodel it to erase all associations with Hitler. So this guy did nothing other than comb his hair a certain way, wear a mustache, and dress up in an outfit. And he is arrested, right? Because he is a danger. He's seen as a danger. Just his presence is seen as a danger. Because it may get people to thinking, what the hell's going on in Germany?
So but if you're wearing he gets you're good to go, but if you wear
he was wearing a hijab,
any other type of outfit, you couldn't get arrested.
Well, that's it. If you're not specifically pushing the agenda, you're a problem. And that's what that whole story is about. Why would a story like that end up in the Owen Sound paper? Right? Simply to warn people
Don't
that
do that.
you can't go there, right? And that's really pathetic.
But I could wear a hijab. I mean, you wouldn't know whether I was a man or a woman because if my face is covered up, you know, what's the matter? I'm a Muslim. But if I just want to wear an outfit that doesn't appeal to you, I can get arrested for it. Other than the hijab. Is that my understanding of what you're trying to suggest?
Yeah, there'd be no story. There'd be no story except this guy is saying, you know, basically wake up people.
I know.
They don't want anybody waking up.
No, it's very, 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 very sad. Very sad times indeed that we can't make people understand the difference.
And see, what they're also doing is they want everybody to become Islamic. So what they're doing now is they're putting this halometer, whatever the hell you call it, out to the people and not labeling it. Okay, now I bought a chicken once that had challah on it. And I don't know what the hell that was. I just saw it was the name of the chicken company. And then I got home and I looked at it and I saw some Arabic writing in that on it. I thought, what the hell am I looking at? So I looked it up on the internet and found out that it's a religiously slaughtered chicken. Well, I ain't eating it because I want nothing to do with the Muslims. I want nothing to do with Islam. I want nothing to do with their religion. Yet, I'm reading all kinds of stories that this stuff is being integrated into the food system and not being labeled. So, you know, they say, well, you know, you're eating halal food and therefore you agree or you've already started to become a Muslim kind of thing. But these are stories you never hear about. Islamic rebels execute Christian pastor, torch the churches in Central African Republic. You don't hear stories like that in the local Owen Sound paper. Instead, we got a picture of Hitler too, which is no story whatsoever. This is the kind of garbage.
This is a 21-year-old, you said?
What's that?
It was a 21-year-old that did this?
20 something.
Well, kudos to him.
Well, yeah. Now here's a good story because can sanctuary cities violate federal law with no consequences? Well, yes, because your federal government is breaking the law and it's allowing the cities to break the law and the provinces to break the law and the churches to break the law. Sanctuary is a safe place. Keep Miami safe, sanctuary now. Our immigrants community counts. This is the kind of garbage. So this thing, we don't have government. The government is gone. The government is absolutely gone because every government is breaking the rules. Now, the rule on animal rights and animal cruelty, both the religious slaughter of animals by the Jews and by the Muslims is completely against the animal rights and they somehow turn a blind eye to it. If I or you went out and caught a deer or something and just went up and slit its throat, well, first you have to say a prayer. If you said your prayer, somebody saw you out in a farmer's field saying a prayer and then pulling out a big knife and slitting the deer's throat, You would, one, be in jail. Your face would be all over every newspaper, right?
Yeah.
But this is their ritual to kill the animals that they eat. And that's completely against the animal rights, the animal cruelty laws. Yet these people come to our country and they're allowed to break the law. How is that?
All one has to do is go on YouTube. I don't know. You might have to go to the 18 plus sites to watch how these guys, these Jews kill their animals, slaughter their animals, and how these Muslims slaughter their animals. It's sick and demented. It is the most painful way to die for any creature on this earth. It just blows my mind that this is acceptable, but they're making it acceptable, I guess, you know, making it normal.
Well, everything they do is acceptable. And if you
sue me, you'll be able to see your own meat slaughtered in front of you. Right? Just to make sure. And you can pray as it's being slaughtered. Right? And they'll have a little bucket for the blood. Well, not a little bucket. It'll be a big one if it's a cow. Just sick. Sick. Very sick.
Yeah,
they put some of these animals in friggin' combines, I guess is what you would call them, and slit their throats, and you can see them fighting and kicking and just everything they can do to say, no, don't do this. And then you in one video, I saw a leg kick out, and it was wiggling around as a throat, and the blood's gushing out of the throat. I mean, oh my, talk about a freaking horror movie. And that was just one. They do this every day, all day. And they like it.
Yeah, but and we have to put up with it. And we have to put up with it. And you know, everything that Islam is against everything. And this is what kills me. You got all these jerks that got into the LGBTQ thing, of which the Muslims have no use for. You got all these women that got into feminism and women's rights, which Islam will destroy. You've got everything that you thought was liberal in your country, Islam's being brought in here to stomp out. And it is going to be chaos city when this comes apart. And it's going to come apart. I saw some angel group or some damn thing in the States want to start airlifting and dropping supplies for the illegal immigrants coming across the American border. They want to fly in and drop supplies on Canadian soil. So when the migrants cross the border illegally, they have supplies sitting there for them.
What do they call that guy? The immigrant angel or something?
Yeah, some bullshit like that. But he's funded. He's funded by either Rockefeller or Soros.
Well, no, but he's a Muslim.
But he's still funded.
He's got white gloves or gloves on to protect his hands, I guess, from disease. I saw the picture.
Oh, did you? Yeah, I didn't see a picture of it.
So from the disease of these immigrants, but he wants to, I don't know, fly like an angel or something. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see the picture, but I saw the story.
Yeah. It's a black guy. He's got white gloves on. Like he's. I don't know what that represents. But does he want to keep himself clean from the disgust that's coming in, or does he want to keep himself clean to prepare for the disgust that's coming in? I don't know, it's just me, but I saw the picture, and that's what it was. It was a black guy with white gloves, and with a big smile, going, yeah, I want to save the hordes of immigrants. Oh, and the Mongols, where are they at? We need them now, don't we?
We need to become them.
Yeah, I think so.
We have to cleanse our nation. I mean, this is... This is getting beyond ridiculous now. I wish I could find that story. I thought it was rather interesting. Where is it? Trump, Trudeau find common ground on economy security, but remain odds over immigration. This isn't immigration, okay? It's open borders, and that's Soros and the UN. They want the borders open. And our government, so-called government, and our so-called country, which is a member state of the UN, is doing the bidding of these international dogs, man. And I'm trying to find out. I'm going to keep an eye out on this one story. A bus driver dies after stabbing at the University of Manitoba. And I found the story kind of odd because there was a story of the Muslim who sexually touched a bunch of underage girls at the pool in Edmonton. And now Winnipeg, and there was all hell broke loose because they identified him as a Muslim. And now I see today a bus driver dies after stabbing at the University of Manitoba. But for some oddball reason, it's a 22-year-old guy who supposedly did the killing. And it says the 22-year-old remains in police custody. No charges have been laid. And apparently the cameras were on the bus. And there's been no identification of who the killer was, even though there's cameras on the buses, so it's not like there weren't any witnesses. But they're not releasing the gentleman's identity, who has been picked up for the killing. So I'm going to keep an eye on this to see, was it a white guy? Was it a Muslim?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, well, I'm certain that I'm almost positive that this guy was white, they didn't have a hard time splashing the guy's face all over in Quebec.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this is the CBC again, who got hell for saying it was a Muslim that was doing the inappropriate touching of underage girls. And now we got this killing in Winnipeg, and there's no identification whatsoever of who the killer is of this guy. So I'll have to keep an eye on that story because I'm interested.
If they can blame it on a white guy, it will be splashed around
everywhere.
But you notice like even with that that Quebec thing, which has come and gone real quick, funny enough,
it just disappeared,
they did
didn't it?
A terrible job on that. They got embarrassed. They went, well, how do we float this one, because we're so full of shit lies. We maybe just take this out of the media now. You know, they just couldn't carry on the lie any longer. That's my opinion. It was such a poor attempt. I mean, Canadians aren't very good. I mean, look at our shows on CBC. You know, like they're just the worst, most terriblest friggin' things you could ever watch. So let us try and do a false flag government run. Well, that's even worse. And they did it this time, but they realized their mistake, and now they're just kind of shutting up about it. Oh yeah, a whole bunch of people died. Let's just move on to the next story because this isn't going over so well. You know, this is supposed to be what, another one of our 9/11s? And it just didn't go over so well. Not the way they planned. because just so, terrible actors, terrible,
they're not
terrible
good
design,
actors, no.
No blood, you know, like the all this blood and gush and murder and carrying on. But, you know, you see a couple of drops of blood and three holes in a wall. And the news media got in before I think the detectives were done investigating. Well, I think that happened in the States too, though, but you know what I'm saying? It's just kind of, the whole thing is ridiculous.
Well, I'm hoping that this, Halal or whatever the hell they call it. How do you pronounce that? Halal? Halal?
H-A-L-A-H-A-L.
I see how it's spelled, but Halal?
Halal.
Halal?
Yeah.
There's a petition here Culture. Against it to against halal slaughter. A petition is, where is this? I guess this is in Europe or in Britain. The petition addressed to David Cameron reads, "We are angry at the food industry for pandering to the minority group that want halal and kosher foods, and we want you to stand up and set an example that halal is wrong." He goes on to cite Danish Minister of Agriculture and Food, who in response to his government extending a ban on religious slaughter to cover previously exempted groups, insisted that animal rights become before religion. Israeli's Deputy Minister of Religious Services, Rabbi Eli Ben Debane, said European anti-Semitism, see, this is all about European anti-Semitism is showing its true colors across Europe and is even intensifying in the government institutions. In other words, you integrate to us, we don't integrate to you.
It's a buffer zone, Ron.
It's what people need to understand, though. It's, they really got to get on this animal slaughter thing and understand it. I mean, you have all these people standing there holding vigil candles over this killing at the mosque and all of this. Careful. Oh, you know, Muslims are so good. Sweden, Germany, Norway, Netherlands so also have similar bans of what?
Ron, you're going back on about food again. Like, we know it's all sick. And then the kosher is the same way.
Exactly. But that's why
I keep... This is a buffer zone. This is us. We've got to... And we have to do it. We have no choice now. We have to do it. We have to fight the Muslim invasion. And then we got to go back to fighting the Jews. But the Jews keep a buffer zone all the time in front of us.
Well, the Jews...
Now we're dealing with friggin' Muslims, which they sent us, and they're laughing.
Well, the Jews are the ones that started
it. You guys will be 10 years fighting this one, and then by that time they'll have something else in place. We'll never get at the source. That's by design, by their plan.
What's funny, Chris, is you have the Jews. If you go to Jew News, you have the Jews saying negative things about the Muslims.
Of course.
And that's how pathetic it is, because both of these groups are on the same damn team.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're using the Muslims as their buffer right now to keep you distracted so you don't...
No, the Muslims are most definitely a distraction. It is the Jews that are running the show.
Yep.
And the Muslims, because there's so many of them, are just being used as foot soldiers.
But yet we sit and argue every day about the fucking Muslims.
What's a Muslim?
I don't know. Islam. Halal.
It recognizes the prime minister or something. Recently, the prime minister has confirmed that there would be no ban on religious slaughter in the UK. It recognizes there is public concern about meat from animals slaughtered in accordance with religious beliefs being sold to consumers who do not require their meat to be prepared this way, but confirmed that currently there are no specific EU or national legal requirements governing the sale and labeling of halal or kosher meat. So what they're doing basically is they're taking their religious slaughter and they're putting it on your dinner plate because you are to accept their Islamic state and way of life. And we see all kinds of examples of that already in this country. And that's the police have their own hijabs now. And what do I want a Muslim cop in my province or country for? I don't. We have examples where the women have to stand behind screens. And if you're a woman and you go into a mosque, you don't wear a headscarf. Even though you don't want to wear a headscarf, you're not welcome. So it's not about integration. It's about you integrating to them, not them to you. And that has got to get dealt with. It's like somebody coming over to your house and telling you how you're going to live in your house. And you bowing down to it. You wouldn't do it in your own house. You would ask somebody that was...
We made ourselves a first world country. We came over. We made what we made. We did it. European blood. Right? And I'm sorry to say, but it was white European blood.
Yeah.
We got away from the tyranny and come over here to
don't
set
forget
ourselves,
it was,
our
don't
own
forget
land.
It was,
we did it.
Don't
we built it. Now they called us a first world nation. And now we've got to bring in all the third world nations because we should feel so bad that we did so well on our own that now we're going to bring them in and we're all going to be back to where we started.
Yeah, you're back to nothing. Everything that you thought is out the window.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll just go and get me a... Maybe I'll start brushing my... combing my hair to the side and change my mustache out a little bit and see if that helps anything. There was actually a story I saw when it was going, I can't find the story now, but earlier today I was going through this long story and it was all about how all of this, it wasn't about Muslim meat because it wasn't here in the West yet, but about the Jew meat and how it was banned everywhere. That Hitler had a very important role to play in that. And it was after the war, and the accusation of the Holocaust, that and the United Nations, that the Jews started to make progress with their kosher meat slaughter and that, and it was all based on anti-Semitism. So, you know, I knew this guy that used to do videos, Jesus, I don't know, 10 years or better ago out of Montreal. He was a retired engineer. And he would finish every... He had a very great understanding of the Jews and Israel. And he had no use for Israel. They finally took his site down. He was the most unassuming guy you ever want to see on a YouTube. Just a retired engineer. He wasn't... He just... said what needed to be said. He had all the history there, and he would read the history and that. And he would finish each YouTube video with, and to you design as dogs, I give you an 11, indicating, I guess it was after 9/11. And the 11 was two middle fingers, right? And they eventually, you know. Anyways, I guess we're out of time. Thanks, Chris. It's interesting. I go to back Thursday night and see where we go and
selling lies and buying time, killing people,
that's in life.
Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide,
sick
of
war, sick
of
men,
making money, they don't care. Caesar shit, force of man, fuck the rackets, only fun they mourn. They shoot, they kill, they mass or program, they burn the kids, no more things gone. Trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause fuck will get.
My name is S.M. Gibson, and I am...